For my edition of Farmer Friday this week, I got Jim Yeager over there in Eddyville. Jim, thanks for being with me again on KIIC.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, Pat.
Good deal.
Hey, by the way, I thought I told you everything I knew last time, and here I am again.
Well, I'm sure there's some different stuff going on since last time, obviously. Well, let's go ahead and talk with the cattle a little bit. We indicated that you were going to turn to fall calving, so that's something that is brand spanking new on your facility. You're looking forward to that and seeing the advantages of it.
Yep. They say shade when you're having calves in the fall, late August and September, shade's more of a deal, so I think we're okay there.
Okay.
There's no cold ground in August and September.
Right.
So that's an improvement. So, yeah, we haven't done it before, so we just kind of waiting to see what happens here.
And so artificial insemination was taken care of prior to, obviously. That was during Thanksgiving time-ish. One of the things about that was you had most of your field work taken care of, right?
Yeah. Normally, you know, you're finishing up doing some nitrogen, but for the most part, on a normal year, you know, you're pretty well getting wrapped up by Thanksgiving, hopefully.
And the thing about nutrition for those gestating cattle, you want to make certain that you got the minerals out, you got the salt out, and things on that nature. But it's just not like a dodgeball, throw the ball out there and let them play. You still have to take care of those animals.
You mentioned nutrition, and that's going to be different too, because, you know, instead of lactating in the summer, now it's in the winter. So the feed, you know, they're going to be eating more hay in the winter than they normally do.
Yeah.
And then they may be a little bit easier on the pasture in the summer. So, yeah, everything's going to be a little different.
Interesting. Okay. Let's talk some farm work. You've been out in the field already. You've got some anhydrous that you put down just recently. Talk about how smooth that was.
Yeah, it went good. We actually had a good freeze out this winter. The ground's working better than it has for a couple of years. So the spring, you know, springtime tillage, I think it's going to work a little better. We got our nitrogen. We had some tail end stuff to do. We always wait till the spring on some of it. And, we got that done the last few days here.
Well, let's back up the bus on that anhydrous, though. Talk about the soil profile moving through the ground there with those knives on the anhydrous. What do you see in your mind in terms of moisture content?
It's normal spring, you know. We're coming off of, you know, and we're still in March, so it still gets cold at night, and the moisture sucks up, you know. We're not summertime yet, but it's ground's working good, and moisture's, we got tile running. It seems like kind of a normal spring, maybe a little early, you know. It's going to warm up a little earlier, so unless something really changes, hopefully planting will go decent and early. So.
Okay. What about soil testing? Do you guys mess around with that, or do you hire somebody to do it?
No, we do it. We do it in the fall, kind of be consistent, do it on. We test after beans go into corn, and we have for a million years. So we test the same time every year, every 2 years, and keep track of it that way.
Cool. And then, of course, that gets sent to into Iowa State. They give you some recommendations to go by. With the planting season upon us, there's been some work going on in the shop with the planter. Talk about that.
Yeah, we overhauled it last year. We're just doing a few little tinker toy things this year, not really nothing major. I'm kind of finishing up something, and that's why I'm in Albia. I'm getting a few parts. So I think we're pretty well ready to go.
That's always the case, it seems like. There's always something that needs to be tweaked a little bit, but thank goodness you have some time to get that taken care of. Now, Jim, you mentioned that you just got done taking care of business in terms of seeding hay. Talk about that.
Okay, we seed orchard grass and alfalfa and a cover crop, oats, and it's a process, you know, two or three, four trips, depending on what the ground was like before. But I wanted to talk about how when I was a kid, the way we used to do it. I mean, now we're using drills and things that work a little better. But when I was a kid, I think my grandpa had a cedar cart, and it was just a wooden wagon, that you put the oats in, and then you had a little bucket of alfalfa that you fed into the meter in the back as well. But you had a wagon, a wooden wagon. Ours had, I feel like it had steel wheels on it, and big hopper in the back that you had to keep putting oats in, and a small hopper for your small seed stuff, alfalfa. And as a kid, that was your job. You rode in the wagon, and you had a bucket, and you kept dumping it in the hopper. And the thing was rough, and it was dangerous. And like I say, this thing had steel wheels. And so you're riding in this wagon, rougher than heck, bouncing around, trying to fall out. You got a steel wheel spinning by your head with these spokes. If you fall out, you're going to get cut in half by this steel wheel. But, you know, I guess that's the way they did things. And I'm not that old, but it's a little different world now, you know.
That it is. Well, I'll back up your story. We had a wooden cedar like you're talking about in terms of the wagon, and it had wooden wheels on it, and that small cedar for the seed. Funny thing, one time we were working that and had the oats going like crazy, but the small seed for the grass and stuff wasn't going down into the funnel. It's like there's something wrong with it. It was moving, but it wasn't fast. And we finally got to the bottom of it. And unfortunately, there was a kernel of corn from the company that we bought the seed from that was in that sack that we put in there. So I had to pick that out of there, and that's a good jaunt down in there. That throat was probably close to a foot and a half.
Did you do it while you was running?
No.
Oh, okay. That'd been fun. Yeah.
No, we were stopped. But yeah, you're right. Balancing yourself on that cedar wagon was very, very difficult when there was lots of oats.
Yeah, and you had it seems like you had a 5-gallon bucket to put the oat, you know, you scoop the oats up, put them in the hopper, and then when you had it full, you could set on that bucket, you know, and rest a little bit. But no, it seemed like it was really rough, and it didn't seem like the safest thing.
And then the cool thing about it, Dad knew when he stopped and he went back to look at how much the oats had spread. He knew how many oats needed to be in that certain area. And of course, when it was pulled by a horse, there was so many seeds that were in a horse print.
Okay.
Right?
Well, yeah, I suppose, or hula hoop or something. Yeah. Now they, I think, drilling beans, they used to use hula hoops. You throw it out there and count beans in a certain circumference, you know, and figure it out that way.
Times have changed for sure.
Yep.
Off air, you chatted a little bit about an activity that happened a year ago that you're not proud of, but you had to get it done. There was a tractor that had a little bit of a problem with the engine part. Talk about that.
Yeah, we had the piston come apart on one of our tillage tractor, and so we was without it, and we had to kind of change the way we did things. And yeah, and it was different, and it led to more expense because we got into a place that you didn't think was wet. So we was running with our two-wheel drive tractor, and it was getting late May, and we had a little trouble in a wet place in a field. So we fixed that. We got the Tyler going, and then while we were at that, we put in some standpipes and did some terraces. So if that one piston got really expensive before it was over with for me last year.
That's the sad thing about it.
Cross your fingers.
Yeah, yeah. So market-wise, you guys do finish out the cattle, the steers, right?
Yep.
And so I'm sure you've been taking a peek at the market here lately. What is your standard market practice? Do you just go ahead and load them up when they're ready to go, or do you?
Kinda. I mean, you can forward contract, you know, and do some of that. This year, it wouldn't have really paid because the market. I mean, this last fall, that's when we start marketing, you know, late summer and fall, and the price just kept getting stronger and stronger, you know, through the fall and the winter. So every load we sold, it was better than the last one, and we're good. Out now, so.
Good. I guess I'm getting into the weeds a little bit, but when they get shipped off, where do they go? Where's their destination?
Ours go to Iowa Premium in Tama. They buy Angus, and they're the processor. We sell on the grid, and so you don't know what you're getting until a couple weeks later. Yeah.
Yep.
So it's exciting.
Okay.
When you see the mail come, it's like, well, I wonder what this is.
Right.
So, yeah. It's kind of fun.
Of course, looking at genetics, you're able to look back to see in terms of the sire and the dam, how they combine to get that product. And you may or may not tweak the system, per se.
Oh, yeah, you try to. Yeah, I mean, you select a bull, and you get a female out of it, and then, the ball's rolling, and this started a long time ago. So hopefully you're paying attention, to what you've done in the past. But, I think we do pretty good on the grid and trying to get the right bull and the right female.
Right. And so when you talk about the grid, you're talking about basically a table in terms of you go up so high and you come over in terms of the yield and grade and all that stuff, and that's where the prices are going to come together.
Yeah, there's premiums and discounts for yield grade 1 through 5, and then there's, prime, choice, select, and on down. And there's discounts for heavy and light carcass, and, there's several things that play into it, and that's why I say it's kind of fun to go through that
at the state FFA fair, at the Iowa State Fair, they have something called performance beef, and they have different windows that you can have: window A, window B, window C, and each one of those windows has a certain criteria, and that's basically, in a nutshell, mm-hmm. that's what you're trying to accomplish.
Yep. Trying to get the top.
And, you've got to have a knack to that, to be able to hit that window.
I don't know if I'm any better at it than anybody else, but you just got some history, of what my dad did, and you kind of try to follow along and try to keep improving all the time. But
when it happens, it puts a big smile on your face, because it's like, hey, I did pretty decent.
And most of the stuff, the stuff we sell is not Happy Meal stuff. The McDonald's stuff will be an old cow.
Right.
Or a bull.
Right.
That's served their time. But what you're trying to do, you're doing the steakhouse stuff, and that's where it pays a little better. That's what we're aiming for.
You just brought up an item that I remembered. That's what was one of those windows in FFA. It was called white tablecloth, because the loin eye needed to be a certain size. Couldn't be too small, couldn't be too big, but it had to hit that criteria. So, that's great. That's great. Anything else thinking about there at the Jaeger Ranch? I mean, quite honestly, the ground that you have is in pretty decent shape. You're fortunate that you don't have a lot of slope to it, but it's quality ground. That reminds me, you did reclaim some former strip pits. And what's your thought about that? That's been 2 or 3 years ago now.
You said we've got some of both. We've got some decent ground, and we've got some that's like Mars. And when you talk about Mars, that's what this coal mine thing is, because you walk through it and it's not really dirt, some of it. It's kind of, I don't know what it is, but we're trying to get something growing on it. And it's coming along. It's looking green for the most part.
But with that reclamation land, there was a lot of soil that was moved and changed and shaped.
Yeah, when they do that, it's never going to be farmland again. When they mined it, it probably wasn't the best farmland to start with. Right. Well, I know it wasn't. Right. So you take marginal farmland and then you mine it. And then you try to, when they mined it, they didn't save the dirt. They just threw it in the hole from the last hole they dug. And so when they reclaim it, you just kind of get what you get. You don't know where the dirt's at, the better dirt.
Right.
And so, you don't know what you're going to get. They're getting pretty good at it. They put a lot of lime on to counter what's going on. And for the most part, these reclaimed things are green.
Right. And so when you talk about that lime, you're talking about affecting the pH, the soil acidity / alkaline. You want it to be in that area that helps grow crops.
Yep.
I've been chatting with Jim Jaeger here from Eddyville for my edition of Farmer Friday today. Jim, thanks so much for being with me today on KIIC.
Oh, it was a lot of fun, Pat.